Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Shabbat Shalom on this Saturday. Hey, we're back. Hey, it's good to be back after a few weeks off. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as on the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett. I'm your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you can re-listen to the show later this week on ShofarMinistries.net and take some notes because every program has these great insights and gold nuggets. You'll want to remember them. You want to enhance your knowledge. God expects you to pursue knowledge of His Word with diligence, right? So let's ask our Father in Heaven to be with us. Lord, we pray, Father, Abba, Father, I pray that You bless those who are listening right now. We hold up to You the prayer requests that have recently come into this ministry, and pray that You answer their prayers, especially for their loved ones' salvation. I pray that You will woo them with Your Holy Spirit conviction. I pray for all our listeners' finances, especially those with a heart for giving. Grant them wisdom and direction in these last days. And we ask, Lord, that You rebuke the demon activity that lurks all around, the devil who seeks all he can devour. And we want to thank You, Lord, too, for the many weeks You have already given us to air this program that has been a blessing to so many. And we thank You, too, that we can at least do some special programs as the funding is provided. And, Lord, may we each know Your purpose for us as individuals and have the strength Your Word provides to achieve it until You come in Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Oh, thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you, too. And, again, may we know God's purpose for us as individuals. That is just a great prayer because that's all what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's so good to be here, and we hope that we can continue at least once a month.
Or if more funding comes in, and we're scheduled for November 20th.
We are.
Be here same time, same station, mark your calendars. This Thursday, Sheila's actually going to be a guest on the TBN Satellite Network, WDLI out of Akron. And that will be aired at a later date, so check on ShofarMinistries.net for posting.
And also, we have a blog up now, so I blog once in a while.
And it's a good blog, I might add. And there's a reminder, too, that the second and fourth Saturday of the month is a Shofar Assembly Night, and that is tonight.
That's tonight!
Yeah, Burton, Ohio, at 6:30 at the Berkshire Hills Apartments Community Room. Call for directions. The number is 440-834-9006.
And, of course, we have to mention that we're going to be singing some great Messianic and fun worship songs. Uh-huh. So do come.
And plan on being blessed. We will love to have you out tonight. We'll be opening the lines later in the hour. Should you have any end time questions, the number to call in is 888-888-6777 word. That's easy to remember. But first, Sheila, we've got a lot of news. I know.
Oh, I know. And especially when you're not on every week, it's like, okay, what do I leave out and what do I talk about?
Oh.
But at first I want to mention, too, is we are so blessed to have you, John, to do our worship on at Shofar Assembly, because there's not too many churches that actually will sing Hebrew songs. You know, it's not all Hebrew, and I don't want people to think that.
No,
but, you know, what a blessing. You know, I'm told that Hebrew is the pure language, and we get to do it.
And we get to do it.
And I thank you.
As Christians, it never hurts to learn the Hebrew.
Oh, no, no, no. And we're definitely going to be speaking that in the millennial kingdom, so why not get a head start?
There you go.
Anyway, yes, we got some news here. It's just amazing to see how close we are to his return. You know, everything is coming together, and so quickly, Israel's enemies, the poor economy, the demise of America, and, of course, that's necessary to have a world government because we're going to long for that.
Mm-hmm.
The telecommunications and, of course, the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church that really doesn't care that much about the deeper truths of God's word, unfortunately. And everyone's, like, looking for a leader. They thought it was Barack Obama, but they're finding out that it's not. And so they're still looking, you know. And I am really amazed that I am seeing how very acceptable these UFO things are, and I believe it's an explanation for the rapture. The conditioning of the masses is continuing to progress, and it's quickly, for total acceptance of alien beings from outer space. Did you know, John, that the UN has appointed a space ambassador? She's 58-year-old Malaysian Maslin Othman, and her job, okay, is to greet aliens when they arrive to Earth.
That I'm not snickering. It's just amazing. I happen to believe that UFOs exist. And as a Christian, I believe they're not. They're probably satanic. So.
Yes, I do. I believe that too.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, there's several former and very well respected U.S. military officers have recently come forward saying they have witnessed UFO tampering with U.S. nuclear missile control sites way back in 1967. And these are not wacko conspiracy theorists or anything like that. I think they are seeing demon activity.
I do think they are, too.
Furthermore, earlier this year, the British government released 6,000 pages of UFO documents on sightings within their country.
That they have kept secret.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now there's a recent conference, and it's called The Detection of Extraterrestrial Life. And it was on October 4th, where the new UN Space Ambassador was president.
You mean Maslin Othman?
Yes.
Othman? Yes.
Of course, this is part of the end time scenario, and it's laying the foundation for the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Most, by the way, of the extreme UFO followers have a belief that some people are going to be whisked away off the earth into spaceships, as portrayed, by the way, in a soon-to-be-released movie called Skyline. It's supposed to come out very soon.
Well, that sounds like the rapture to me.
But
are we going up in spaceships?
No, it's not going to be into spaceships.
Oh,
but
okay.
Again, they will need an explanation as to why millions of people disappear, which makes more belief that there is going to be a rapture, by the way.
Okay.
But the Bible teaches that the righteous must leave for total spiritual darkness to take over, which will allow the prince of darkness through the Antichrist to take power. And in Amos 5:20, it says, "Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?" And we know the New Testament says that the bride is hindering the arrival of this Antichrist, the Bible calls it man of lawlessness.
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 2:7.
Can you explain lawlessness? Is he out robbing banks, John?
No, that does not mean. The Greek word, I believe, has something to do with Torah, and it means actually Torahlessness, or we could just further translate it or paraphrase it to say Biblelessness.
Absolutely.
They don't know the Bible. They don't fear God. They don't have any respect for his word.
That's right. Whenever you see lawlessness, it means they're not reading the word.
In the New Testament, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But there's other scriptures, too, if you want to write these down, people out there. Micah 7:2, Isaiah 57:1, Psalm 12:1, and it's referring to how there will be no righteous left. And again, that'll just be for a short time until people start getting saved, but it'll be long enough for the enemy to get the power that he needs.
The disappearance of the church off the face of the earth, and maybe it takes maybe it's a minute, maybe it's an hour. For Satan to move, and that's what he's been waiting for. And I agree with this. Our world today is not looking for a spiritual Messiah. It is looking for a technological Savior.
Oh, yeah. You know, if some UFO landed on planet Earth and out walked a Christ-like benevolent creature who claimed to be of a higher intelligence, who could solve all our economic and environmental and even technological problems, the world would flock to him. And for decades now, the world has been in a satanic conditioning process to accept these alien beings as a normal reality.
Yeah, and movies like The Day the Earth Stood Still, Star Wars.
Independence Day.
Independence Day. What's that one recently? I saw Knowing.
Yes.
And television series like Star Trek, Babylon 5.
Remember Superman, Lois and Clark?
Oh, yeah. That was a series, too. And Stargate, SG-1.
And that started quite a while ago, actually.
Yeah, so these are very popular programs.
We've been being conditioned this whole generation.
Well, you know, it seems like Hollywood sometimes is prophetic when it comes to things that happen in America. And before 9-1-1, there were a lot of movies I heard that showed planes crashing into buildings. I hope I didn't blaspheme there by calling Hollywood prophetic. But, you know, it's on people's minds.
Yes.
The stuff is on
people's minds. Well, we know from the Bible that there's you know, supernatural beings in the air.
Yes,
we know that.
For a fact. Yes.
So it's not surprising that these things are happening. And let me add this truly bit of information. Even the Pope has a planetary scientist and an astronomer working at the Vatican Observatory. His name, this one that I'm talking about, his name is Brother Guy Consolmagno of the Catholic Society of Jesus. He told the British media that he would like to be the first to baptize aliens.
Are you kidding me?
No. The stage is not only set, it has to be curtain time, folks. And by the way, in 2006, this guy, whose name is Guy, said, religion needs science to protect it from creationism, which at the end of the day is a kind of paganism.
He said,
yeah, and this guy works for the Vatican.
That's amazing.
You know?
It's deception.
And it's amazing. Yeah.
It is deception.
And isn't that what Jesus said the very first sign would be?
Oh,
deception.
Of these times, yes,
yeah,
it would be deception.
Right. Also, let's change subject a little bit. A one-world government is being talked about more lately, and a requirement for a one-world government is for America to break down, especially economically, and that is happening.
By golly, they've got that down, don't they?
Yeah, many are hoping November 2nd elections will turn things around, but if we're in the last days, I don't think so.
What
it's
about
just
the spiritual
changing
breakdown?
People.
Isn't that just as bad?
And the spiritual breakdown is occurring as well. Anti-Semitism is growing, and we can see by his actions that our leader does not love the descendants of Jacob.
Which, by the way, is a requirement for God's blessing.
Oh, yeah. And is doing all that he can to stop them from building any new housing in Israel. And they need housing if the Jews are going to make Aliyah. And there's many prophecies where God says he will bring the Jews home one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
The one that comes to my mind is Jeremiah 23:7-8. And, you know, I think I'd just like to read that real quick. He says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I have driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land.
And that we're seeing that.
It's definitely scriptural. And, you know, it started very slow, even way back in the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
But since 1948, it's increased and increased until even just the last 5 years, it's been exploding. But still, there's a lot more to come.
Well, Well, how? What's driving them there? Is it the anti-Semitism? Is that what's getting
you know? I'm pretty sure it is a part of it anyway, and also that God's putting it in their hearts, and they just have a drive to be in Israel, and some of them don't even know why. But anti-Semitism is very bad in Europe, I'm understanding, in particular nations. Jewish communities are being physically, verbally,
yes,
and psychologically threatened. History is repeating itself. So I think it's going to get worse. They will flee to Israel, and they do need more housing to accommodate them.
That's right, they do. And their system is burdened right now. They need the housing. They need the help. You know, you will be blessed if you individually help Israel in these times.
To spread the gospel.
To spread the gospel.
Yeah, be careful with that. We've got some ministries out there that I've talked about that really don't spread the gospel. And that's where our hearts should be first and foremost. Yes. And then helping them. And there's ministries that do both.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, let's look at Iran.
Yeah, let's look at Iran.
Several weeks ago,
I'd like to, but no.
The U.S. press leaked a story, which, by the way, now we know is true, and mm-hmm. I've been blogging about this, actually, that Israel, with U.S. approval, praise the Lord, has jointly embarked on a cyber war with Iran. It's a virus called Stuxnet. It's even been on some of the news, so a lot of people probably know this by now. But it was the most advanced and dangerous piece of malware ever devised, capable of attacking and severely damaging Iran's industrial computer servers
mm-hmm.
Of large projects such as power stations and nuclear reactors.
Wow.
And we know that it has done significant damage to their industrial computers and has virtually taken them down to a standstill.
Hmm.
Important data was also gathered, I understand, making Ahmadinejad livid, to say the least. And he knew that there had to be insiders, and they suspected some Russian technicians, and they thought maybe they were highly paid, and in fact, now many Russian technicians have fled Iran, especially after Ahmadinejad decapitated a few possible perpetrators.
God.
Yes,
wow.
He did. So they're fleeing. And then something else happened the day before Ahmadinejad went to Lebanon, and that was like last week, beginning of last week, increasing his anger even more, and that's putting it mildly.
Wow.
And this has not been reported a lot, although I did hear it on Hal Lindsey last night.
Oh,
okay. But a secret subterranean missile facility in Iran incurred a triple blast explosion that destroyed a large number of Iran's launchers, rendering this underground bunker unfit for any further use, praise the Lord.
Now, wait, missile launchers, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And at least 18 of Iran's Revolutionary Guards were killed and 14 seriously injured. And as in the virus Stuxnet, that's hard to say, it was an inside job, most likely hand-rigged. Iran is only saying it was caused by a fire. Is that a little prideful?
Yeah. Now wasn't this Ahmadinejad supposed to go to Lebanon the next day?
Yeah, that's what I said. He was supposed to go the very next day, so it's no surprise.
Did it happen the day he was supposed to go to Lebanon?
The day before, yeah. So it's no surprise that the now very furious and revengeful Ahmadinejad couldn't wait to make the warning that Israel was destined to disappear, and he said it, along with Hezbollah's leader, Nasrallah, mm-hmm. I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
He anxiously agreed with them. Then they went on to announce the formation of a new Islamic bloc composed of Iran, Syria, Turkey, the Palestinians, Lebanon, and even Iraq, while dedicating to fight not only Israel, but also America.
Oh, wait a minute. You said Iraq. Haven't we been there fighting against this from happening? What have we been doing there?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Now they're all going to join up anyway?
Well, you know, the prime minister of Iraq is a Shiite. His name is al-Maliki,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Al-Maliki.
Apparently, he went to Syria's President Assad, cap in hand, to beg him to intercede with his Iranian ally, which Syria's ally, of course, is Iran,
mm-hmm.
and asked him to go there for support. It's amazing. And you wonder, well, who cares about America then and all that we've done for Iraq? So why has this happened? Probably because Maliki knows the United States is digressing in all areas and will not be there after 2011. It's pretty definite.
We're scheduled to get out of 2011.
We are, and they're just waiting. They know it. So Iran probably is planning on taking over Iraq and has already actually begun with the infiltration of Revolutionary Guards that have been spotted in small areas of Iraq. Now, you have to remember, Iran is Shia.
Okay.
So I was a little confused when they got rid of Saddam Hussein, who was a Sunni, and they endorsed a prime minister who was a Shiite, knowing that Iran is Shiite.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, wasn't Saddam actually holding back this whole Iran?
They had a war.
Yeah.
They had a war, and he was Sunni. Syria also is Syria. Excuse me, Sunni. However, Syria is actually of the Ba'ath Party, as was Saddam Hussein. But Syria was a regionalist, and Saddam Hussein was a nationalist.
Okay.
Nationalist meaning more socialistic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they argued back and forth. But now that Iraq has a Shiite prime minister, it's fitting quite nicely, and it looks to me like Iran will be
part of Iraq.
And, yeah,
and this is going to recreate the old Persian Empire, Babylon being its capital, and this is just falling right into the hands of the of Bible prophecy. And you know, we didn't know that.
I know.
When we got rid of Saddam Hussein over there, we didn't think that it would lead to this, right?
Well, hopefully not. Now, I haven't had time to read much of it, but these WikiLeaks, that's, I guess, out now.
Okay. Oh, on Wiki, and Wiki is some sort of computer thing? Oh, we're so on top of things.
Yeah, right. I have to read about that. But anyway, they have some reports that kind of show that the United States kind of turned its back and didn't do anything about certain Iranian infiltrations. So I don't know a lot about that because the report just came out today and I haven't had time to read it. But, the world's a mess. All I got to say is the world's a mess. You need to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You know, that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. And that's no guarantee things are going to go perfect for you. But I'll tell you what, you have something to look forward to, and that's spending an eternity in heaven the Lord Jesus. The lines will be open when we come back. We're going to take a short break, okay? And if you have a question, particularly on end times eschatology, don't ask us about Wiki stuff, though. And that phone number is 888-677-WORD-9673, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we cover such a big area on the radio. We would both like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. So ask your pastor. Ask them to give us a call, 440-834-9006. Any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a seed partner in this endeavor. You can use PayPal or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. And all donations, any donation really, will put you on our monthly newsletter. And it's full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. And why not check out the webpage while you're at it? Newsletters and our previous radio shows are all archived there. And there's live DVD teachings available for purchase. And once again, the phone number for your end time question is 888-677-WORD. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And we'll be right back. So don't go away after a short break and a good song.
By you.
By me. That the Lord help me. Right, of course.
At the Original Mattress Factory, we strive to educate our customers and simplify the mattress shopping experience. This is Ron Trzynski, and for those of you who are in the market for a new mattress, one of the best tools that we have available for you is our recently updated website. Simply visit originalmattress.com and find a wealth of information from shopping and sleep tips to product and price information. Depending on your interest, you might choose to watch a narrated tour of our factory to see step-by-step how we manufacture our own brand of mattresses and box springs. Or, for a more in-depth look at what really sets our product apart, you can take the challenge and utilize our interactive 360-degree demo to compare two brands side-by-side, feature for feature. If you prefer hard facts, visit our Shop Smart section and get detailed information about buying a mattress. And if you're ready to take the next step, stop in and see us. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp. Or check us out on the web at originalmattress.com.
Months of solitary confinement, years of physical torture, constant suffering from hunger and cold, the anguish of brainwashing and mental cruelty. These are the experiences of Richard Wurmbrand, a Romanian pastor during his 14 years in communist prisons. His crime? His fervent belief in Jesus Christ and his public witness concerning that faith. Wurmbrand's gripping account of his experiences in the book, Tortured for Christ, tells the story of the thousands of believers who met in homes, in basements, in the woods, sometimes daring to preach on public street corners, and how these faithful souls persisted in their Christian witness, knowing full well the ultimate cost of their actions. Now, the Voice of the Martyrs invites you to receive a free copy of Tortured for Christ today by visiting Christianity.com. Read the book that shocked a nation, Tortured for Christ, by getting your free copy today at Christianity.com. Brought to you by Voice of the Martyrs.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Make me as one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray. And I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. and with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
And welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was sung by yours truly, John Bartlett, and you wrote that song with God's help?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and I wanted to remind the people, too, that we'll be back again next month. We're trying to do once a month showing because that's all the funds that we really have. So if you know someone that would like to help sponsor the show, we could be on more. But the next time will be November 20th.
Okay.
So mark your calendar.
Mark your calendar. Same time, same station, as they say. Hey, you know, I can't help thinking, you mentioned something about there's a day that we're supposed to be remembering here in the month of October. It's like an anniversary of something, and what is it? I'm stumped here. What are we supposed to remember?
I knew you'd forget.
I mean,
that's why.
Is it a feast? Is it a feast? No. Because,
well, yeah, it's kind of no.
No.
It's the month of October. Something really amazing happened. Actually,
that's not Halloween.
No.
Okay.
No, it's actually in October of 1881.
Oh.
The process of the Hebrew language revival began as a man named Eliezer ben Yehuda and his friends moved to Israel. They actually are one of the first few that made Aliyah and agreed to exclusively speak Hebrew in all their conversations once they got to Israel. And as a result, the language, which, by the way, had not been spoken as the mother tongue since the 2nd century CE, AD, mm-hmm. once again became the national language of Israel.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Now, I heard about this guy, and I heard that God put this on his heart to start speaking Hebrew. And
he
even
did.
To his own family members, if they asked him a question, he would answer in Hebrew. I
right.
think he got kind of annoyed with them.
Yes, he did, because they were only supposed to speak Hebrew. And actually, 3,000 years earlier, when the Jewish people first arrived in Israel with Joshua, Hebrew was established as the national language, and it lasted for about 1,000 years until the Bar Kokhba War, actually, with the Romans in about 135. But from that point on, Hebrew was exclusively only used for literature and prayer up until the 19th century,
okay.
and it started with Eliezer ben Yehuda, which, by the way, they named a street for him in Israel.
Oh.
I've been there a few times. It's fun.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'll just tell you real quick about ben Yehuda. He was born in 1858, grew up in Belarus, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Formerly part of the Russian Empire, where he started studying the Bible at the age of 3, as well as ancient Hebrew. And by the time he was 12, ben Yehuda was familiar with the Torah and hoped he would become a rabbi.
Wow. And, you know, and as part of his vision of reviving Hebrew, Ben Yehuda raised his son, Ben Zion, Ben Yehuda, the first name meaning son of Zion,
right.
Speaking entirely in Hebrew. So
right.
his first generation, right, speaking entirely in Hebrew. He refused to let his son be exposed to other languages during childhood.
Oh, well, let me tell you about a cute story, too. He once reprimanded his wife for singing a Russian lullaby to the child.
Wow.
And as a result, his son became the first native speaker of modern Hebrew.
Wow.
But he's a major figure in the establishment of the Academy of the Hebrew Language, an organization that still exists today. And he wrote the first modern Hebrew dictionary and became known as the reviver of the Hebrew language. And I just think it's so cool because in the Bible, in Zephaniah 3:9, God said, "I will restore a pure language."
Yes,
and
to
that's
the nations.
Exactly what he's doing.
Not just to Israel, but to the nations, he says, right?
That's right. That's right.
So we're all going to be speaking Hebrew?
Eventually, yes.
Wow.
And it's starting right now in Israel. And again, Ben Yehuda worked tirelessly, by the way. He tried to raise awareness. He had a lot of opponents to fight. But he finally brought about the revitalization of Hebrew. And so the first Hebrew schools were established and increasingly became a spoken language of daily affairs, and finally became a systematic and national language. And again, Ben Yehuda's fame and notoriety stems more from the initiation of it and the symbolic leadership of mm-hmm. the Hebrew revival. In fact, there's an historian named Cecil Roth. He summed up Ben Yehuda's contribution to the Hebrew language. He said, "Before Ben Yehuda, Jews could speak Hebrew. after him, they did. So
they could, and now they did.
Now they did. Ultimately, okay. The process of Hebrews' return to regular usage, very unique. There are no other examples of sacred language becoming a national language with millions of first language speakers. Yeah.
And I think it was not until this century that it was decided for sure that would be the national language.
I know. And God said it would, and it is.
It was a toss-up between Yiddish and Hebrew, and Hebrew won.
All right. Yep. Amen. Well, we have a caller on the line, and I want to make sure that I get to her. And her name is Willer in Cleveland. You're on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is not concerning end time, so I don't know if you want to take it today or not.
Well, it's too late. You're on the air now.
Okay.
I don't know if I can answer it, but I'll try.
Okay. It's concerning the praise dance in the church.
Uh-huh.
I need to know if this is scriptural or is this just a church tradition. And the reason I ask is because that was the way that heathens worshiped their gods back, in the days.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, when David set up the temple worship, there were singers, musicians, doorkeepers, whatnot, but there was no dancers, and there was no dancers in the early church.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I find about dancing is when the ark was brought back to Jerusalem and David danced, and the women danced after they crossed the Red Sea, but that seemed to be a spontaneous dance and not just a trained thing to be part of the worship service.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know that David did dance, and so therefore I would never tell someone that they couldn't dance before the Lord. I just would never do that. However, I suppose that I understand what you're saying about it being too choreographed, where it wouldn't be spontaneous, and I can understand where you're coming from with that, too. So, I think more spontaneous is good.
Right.
I think sometimes women just need a little training just to help them with their moves, and then if there's no choreographer, then whatever the Spirit leads you would probably be okay. You know, God is looking at the heart. That's really what he looks at. And if their hearts are right and they feel that that's what they want to do. Now, remember, number one, of course, is studying of God's word. And if they're going off learning how to dance just to dance in church and they're not reading the word, then they're out of line.
Yeah.
The word's first.
Okay.
I don't have a choice because I'm such a poor dancer, Willow.
Well, it seems to me some of them, it's like this in what they used to call interpretive dancing.
Sure.
That these dance troupes used to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And the hand movements, is most of it is signing, like, when you speak to the deaf people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
It's like, I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, again, like with anything else, people can go overboard. It's the way it is with every single little thing in Christianity.
Yeah.
The enemy gets involved, gets people out of balance. And again, you need to stay in the word first, and then the others is worship. And as long as it's done well, I don't have a problem with it.
All right.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Well,
and you shouldn't either.
There's
other things to worry about.
All right.
God bless you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, talking about the word, okay? And again, we were just talking about, time is moving so quickly. We are so close to his return for the bride. You just got to make sure that your relationship with Jesus is intimate. Make sure it's not just a head knowledge.
And
how will you know? You'll have a desire to know him more and that longing to be in his word, his presence. That's our Bible. Remember, Jesus is the word, more Jesus. It's that simple.
And we say, study the word. We don't say, read the word. And there's big difference there, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there's, I can tell you, like when you go to church on Sunday, how many times have you left and people have said, well, what was the sermon about? Well, I don't know, but it was really good. And that's because when you just hear the word, you're sitting in church, and a lot of times you don't even have your Bible open, right? Because now they're on overheads and everything else. You really only retain 10 to 20%.
Oh, so a study has been done on this?
Yes. 10 to 20%. If you read it, you retain 20 to 40%.
Ooh.
But if you study it, and that's sitting at a desk, not laying down, sitting at a desk,
yes,
with your Strong's Concordance or your concordance that matches your word.
And when you get to something you don't understand, you stop and research it and look it up.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when you study it, you retain more like 40 to 60%.
Yes.
So it's a lot better. A
lot better.
And then, if you memorize your favorite scriptures, okay, then you retain 60 to 80% because you've memorized it.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't even imagine memorizing the whole first five books of Moses, but I know that they used to do that.
Well, they did, and the...
do they still do it, John? I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm sure you could find a sect Hasidic in Israel that probably knows. Back in the first century, after the temple was destroyed, the rabbis, I don't even know if they were called rabbis back then, but they all took off. And the ones that took off and reestablished synagogues had the entire Torah memorized, and the prophets, the Torah and the prophets,
yeah,
memorized.
Yeah. And why would that be important? You just gave me an example before the show.
Of memorization?
Yes.
Well,
because when they couldn't have their word.
Yes, right.
Yeah. And then the last one is to meditate on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you recall 80 to 100% because you're meditating on the Word of God.
And that can mean praying it. You can pray the Word of
God. As long as it's the Word, yeah.
As long as it's the Word, pray.
Absolutely, and I'm a firm believer in that because I think the more word you can get into your spirit,
mm-hmm,
the more you're going to be on that road to total sanctification of body, soul, and spirit, not just your spirit, okay?
Yes.
We got to get that flesh sanctified. That's why the church today is having such a rough time falling into sin more easily because their flesh isn't sanctified, and that's a process. If you read the scriptures carefully, they say it's a process, okay?
Okay.
So I want to read Psalm 63:6. Do you have? Oh no, I've got it right here. I remember I was going to read that, and I got it ready. 63:6 says, and this is David. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. And I think that's a good hint. How many times have you had insomnia? Well, you don't, John, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that if I just recall something that I've memorized in the Word of God and repeat it, I fall asleep.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I used to get up and actually read the Word because I know the enemy hates that. And if he was keeping me awake, he leaves. Okay, so that's another way. But sometimes, you know, you're just so relaxed and you just want to lay there and you don't feel like getting up and turning on the light and all that stuff. So you just meditate on something that you know and repeat it over and over. Like the Shema is a great thing.
Shema,
you know,
yes.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
Yes, yep. That's a good one. And you can do the paragraph after that, which I've memorized. And that's just from doing it as a prayer.
That's right. That's right. But that will help you sleep, too. And I think that's what David was talking about.
And in Joshua? Remember, first chapter, the Lord told Joshua, meditate on his word night.
Day and night.
Day and night. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, people? If the word of God isn't your hobby, I suggest that you take 1 year and make the Bible your hobby.
Now, you can have other hobbies. Like we here believe that your first hobby should be the Bible.
Yes,
and the second one should be, what, 50s music, Sheila? Is that what?
You're telling my age now.
Okay.
No, actually, Joshua 1:8 is the scripture we're talking about, and
right.
I highly suggest that you read that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's Psalm 1:1-3. Could we look at
that
real quick?
Let's see who's going to get there first. We're racing ahead, racing.
Well, some of this is spontaneous, and I want people to know that. We don't have everything planned. We try to get somewhat of a show, but...
Oh, you're going to start right at the first verse or the second one?
I think I'll do both. Blessed
okay.
is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, or the Word of God. And in his Torah, or his Word, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And that word for prosper is number 6743 in your Strong's, and it means to advance, to succeed. In other words, what you really want to do, you will succeed at it.
That is now I've seen that happen in a part of my life when I study the word, and you know I do music,
mm-hmm.
and if I'm, I can get really uncreative and not even want to do music, but after I study the Bible, God just gives me the desire to do that and do it well.
It's a miracle.
And it just follows. And I want to say one more thing. In the first verse, it says, how blessed. Well, the word blessed is actually, it actually means they're happy.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Remember?
Well, yeah, because nobody can take your joy away.
Right. It's ashrei, and it's in Hebrew, but it means happy.
Oh,
you're happy,
wow.
too.
And, you know, it says you'll be planted by the water. And I, of course, bring to mind Ephesians 5:26 that we are washed in the water of the word.
Oh, yeah.
So that water has a connotation of the word also.
It all fits, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. But, you know, we spoke before about the scripture, and I want to just get this in before we have to close. But it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. What does that mean? Well, you have to examine the Hebrew words for knowledge and perish. Knowledge is Da'af, number 1847. And according to the lexicon, this word is used for God's knowledge in the highest sense. Perish is the word Dama, number 1820. And according to the Strong's Concordance, can also mean to be dumb or silent. So, let's read it again. My people are dumb for lack of God's knowledge,
or
my people are
silent for lack of knowledge. I've been there.
Yeah, because you can't speak what you don't know.
Right.
So you're silent.
Right.
And God is revealing more spiritual knowledge today than ever before, if you want it. And yet people don't have ears to hear it. And that, I'll tell you what, that makes me sad and frustrated.
That can make a big difference in witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
Too, knowing that word. But thank God there's always a remnant who want to know the deeper truth of God's word. There always has been. There always will be.
That's right. And is that you out there? If not, there is still time for you or perhaps someone you know who needs kind of a nudge to increase in the full knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10 talks about increasing in the full knowledge of God. Now, some translations will just say knowledge of God. But when you look it up in the interlinear, which is the original Greek, it says full knowledge of God.
Ooh.
So it's not just a little bit.
Just a little
bit. Pursue all of it.
And you know what? This is what you should do with your children. Do you have children that you're raising? This is what you should do with them. You should teach them the knowledge of God from the Bible. And if if you don't have children, you can mentor someone.
Oh, that's a good, thank you, John, for saying that because that's so important. We have so many divorces out there and so many children that don't have both parents, but especially all kids really need a father figure. So if you're a guy out there and you know someone that whose father's moved out, please take them and mentor them. It's so important.
It is.
And also I want to tell you that at Shofar Assembly, we do go a little deeper into God's word, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I have learned so much. by attending Shofar Assembly, more than I think it's been my major growth in my walk with the Lord is because of that.
God has just given me a desire to go a little deeper. And I believe that every single word in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, has got so much richness in the Hebrew. But every single word and every single letter has a picture associated with it. So, and tonight, by the way, I've got a couple Hebrew words that we're going to look at per letter.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a story.
Now we study the Bible line by line.
We do.
But tonight you're going to hear letter by letter.
Yes, we are. And each letter not only spells a word, but tells a story to that word. It's absolutely amazing.
And you know what? This is not your everyday Bible study. I've been to a lot of Bible studies. This Bible study at Shofar Ministries is something else.
Yeah,
folks.
You
I
have to want
you.
To go deep, no
yes.
doubt.
Yeah.
Not for everybody, I guess. Unfortunately, I wish it was. Anyway, I think we have to leave, John.
Oh, we just got back on the air after all that time off. I don't want to go.
I know, I don't either.
Well, listen. Oh, man. Well, if you've never made, something very important.
Yes,
before we go,
important.
If you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're concerned you might be one of those who only have the head knowledge of him and not really the heart conviction, please, get on your knees right now. Repent, particularly of those sins which seem to be lingering in your lives, maybe the ones that are controlling your lives. Then commit your whole body, your soul, and your whole spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But it's still your choice to choose him, and thereby making it your decision where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide that for yourself.
Amen.
You make a choice for that. Because, you know, your soul never dies.
No, it doesn't.
And it's got to go somewhere, and there's only two places for it to go. You're either going to be with God for eternity or with Satan. So you decide.
It's and your God, decision.
And God help. We pray that the Lord helps you right now in that decision and helps you make that decision.
And, again, study while you can, because the days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord in Amos 8:11, when he will send a famine through the land, and it's not a famine of food necessarily, it's also a thirst for the word of God.
Mm.
And again, Hosea 6:6 says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. In other words, he desires your knowledge of him more than anything that you would do.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it says that very, it's very clear in that. Now, if you have a question for Sheila, or if you'd like her to speak at your church or group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And all your donations, I've got to remind you, are extremely important to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a seed partner with us in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And all donations will put you, any donation actually, will put you on the monthly newsletter. And you can check out the webpage where we have newsletters and everything archived. We're going to leave you tonight, or this afternoon, with the erotic blessing. Yevrechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. Sha'alum, shalom, Jerusalem. Did I say that right?
Sha'alum, shalom, Jerusalem.
Thank you. Pray
for the peace of Jerusalem.
Your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.